to Salinas.
Yes.
And staff has, I believe now, their comments that they wanted to give us.
Yeah, we just would like a couple of minutes to rebut some of the testimony that we had heard and to restate our recommendation. You know, going back to early in the testimony of Salinas staff, we heard them say that hydromodification control doesn't apply to the city of Salinas because they don't have an erosion problem. Then we heard them say that they are open to controlling hydromodification on large projects, that they agree to that. And then in the end, they said that they want to do the right thing and that they would want more time to discuss this with Water Board staff. You know, we consider these to be some pretty inconsistent messages, and it leads us to believe that Salinas may not be fully committed to controlling hydromodification. You know, the fact that this document has been in development for over 2 years seems to support that. We believe that hydromodification control is essential not just to control erosion, but to maintain natural infiltration rates, to sustain our groundwater supplies, to maintain base flow in streams, and sustain aquatic habitat. It's essential to meet the maximum extent practicable standard, and it's essential in order for us to meet our goals. Now, we would have preferred that Salinas write hydromodification control requirements into their development standards that are ideal for them. But considering this seemingly continued resistance to controlling hydromodification, we felt like we were really left with no choice but to require the revisions that are before you today. We believe that option three that we've presented to you is the best way for Salinas to get effective hydromodification control requirements. Now, we would prefer not to discuss the detailed language in this forum, but we are prepared to discuss our technical justification for all of those language changes in option three if you would like. But again, considering how detailed and delicate that language is, we think it's this is not the best forum to do that. So with all that being said, staff recommends, again, adoption of option three.
And I don't need to have you go into the details, but you could respond to kind of a general premise that they have put forth, and that is they have very impermeable soils throughout their area, that LID is not going to work in many places throughout the city, that hydromod is going to be problematic, and essentially, you know, we're putting a straitjacket on them.
Sure.
Down a path that, you know, is just not going to work.
Yeah.
I just want to hear your response.
Yeah, you know, to be clear, we don't expect Salinas to infiltrate more water in an area than that area previously infiltrated. For example, if you have a really high clay content soil that doesn't infiltrate well, it's actually going to be easier to control hydromodification when you develop that site, because there's actually going to be very little difference between the natural runoff rates from an impervious site and the developed site. We believe, you know, the stormwater development standards are set up with applicability criteria and what they call a BMP selection matrix. And so it provides that for a number of site constraints that you choose appropriate BMPs. Well, we recognize that infiltration BMPs, some of the commonly used infiltration BMPs like bioretention devices, might not be directly applicable to some sites. And so the BMP selection matrix provides for selection of appropriate BMPs.
And so in that matrix, do you have high clay content soils?
That is one of the site constraints that's in that matrix. Yes.
Okay.
Can you put up the three options?
And, Mr. Chairman, just to add to that, in there, in the permit, it has a section on development standards, and it specifically says minimize the amount of impervious surfaces and et cetera of new development and redevelopments, and use on-site infiltration of runoff in areas with appropriate soils. So obviously, if it's areas of not appropriate soils, you wouldn't use on-site infiltration if that doesn't work. So what Matt said is consistent with the permit, and any development standard should be consistent with the permit, too. So.
Okay. We want to look at the options again.
Do you want to look at the there's three different slides that have option one, option two, option three? Is that what you're interested in looking at?
Well, I'd like to see. Well, I have all three in front of me, but I'd like to see three. That's the recommendation of staff. And I think it just for the people that don't have the options in front of them, they would have an idea of what it says.
Do you want to see the actual language at the table?
No, just your.
Just the slide. Okay. I think it's coming up right here.
And then perhaps you could also respond to Mr. Shemek's request that those specific BMPs be reinserted into the standards.
Yeah, that was discussed at the last board meeting.
Yes,
and the understanding was a reference to the CASCO manual was inserted into the requirements, and that was how we incorporated those source control BMPs into the document. Mr. Shimmick would prefer that we not have a reference but actually list specific ones in the document, but that's how that issue was resolved at the last meeting.
And I recall that, too. But I'm just, because we may be revisiting these issues, I'd like to know what your position is, again, staff's position on those specific BMPs being enumerated within the standards and not the reference to the CASCO document.
Yeah, my understanding is that putting those in the reference and having the full version of that document as well as any updates is more robust and a better way to go than to just handpick some of them and put them into the document itself.
Okay.
Is that your understanding as well, Matt?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think it's also very important about how it's worded in the resolution. If you refer to a reference, then it could be just a reference. And what's contained in that reference is not required. So it depends on how you word it. Do they have to do what is stated in that reference, or do they simply have to be aware that that reference exists?
Yeah, and I can read what the reference, what we ended up with, I believe.
And by the way, that's almost exactly the same thing you said last time. That's not new.
Redundant.
Yeah, and I think the language that was adopted last time for that did say they shall be selected and implemented in accordance with the most recent version of that document. So I think that's sufficient to require them to do those things.
Okay.
I know it's in here, but I can't find it.
Okay. Why don't we then take a look at the options. That's what you want to do.
Well, I want to see option number three because that's a staff recommendation.
Right.
And because we have all three of them here, but the audience doesn't have.
Right.
That
okay.
One.
All right. Okay. Anything
you know,
else?
Alternatively, attachment 7 to the document is exactly what we're asking you to accept. Except we could display that if you need to, but this I think summarizes it very well.
Well, I think attachment 7 should be, if there is a motion, we should address ourselves to this attachment instead of to the slide, which is kind of a generalization of it.
Right.
But before we get to that, does staff have anything more to add at this point?
Maybe we give Selena
no, sir.
More.
Okay.
I have something to add.
Go ahead.
I think it's too bad I feel compelled to add this but because we have kicked it around a lot, but the city continued to argue that about the reasoning and the what the board intended last time. And in reviewing what happened last time and sort of the chain of events that are most pertinent in that fairly lengthy discussion. On the BMP list that you were just asking about, I said that was relatively minor compared to the bigger issue of low-impact development and hydro modification. And then we launched into, and I asked, what are the objections of the city regarding 4A and 4B? And Carl Nizawa, you said redundancy with the current standard. You said it's part of the permit, it's in the permit. And Harvey Ossoff, you said it's a redundant layer. Dr. Press, before he tried to resolve redundancies, he said to keep the peace, though it may be redundant, why not take the language and import it into 4A to make it a requirement? He was trying to figure out a way to resolve it. And Dr. Press also said the requirement is already included. That was his understanding. And in your letter, Chris Callahan, October 31st, the way you're seeing it is that the motion expressly deleted the hydro modification requirements, and that was because the regional board wanted to reconciliate opposing positions. And today, you've said again, that it wasn't the city's contention that there were redundancies. I've just quoted your answer to me about what the objections were and that there are redundancies. Hang on a second, please. Now, just before Dr. Press got to his, what turned out to be the adopted version of the motion, Carl, you actually added assurances, what I heard is assurances about hydro modification, because we were talking about the fact that the permit is going to be coming up soon and that there'll be an opportunity to review how you're doing. You said if there's any heartburn with the document now and the state of practice with hydro modification, I'm going to talk about how there'll be a chance for review. So to me, you were assuring that hydro modification was included, and to me that reinforces this idea that it wasn't the board getting rid of hydro modification, it was trying to resolve redundancies that you were pointing out. So again, if that's a beating a dead horse, sorry about that, but I want to try to make that clear.
Can I rebut that?
Well, what we're going to do right now is I'm going to give you 5 minutes to rebut anything you want or use your time in any way. So, I mean, you did use up your time before.
I think that statement, though, created a requirement for me to rebut, because those are selective excerpts from what was said. If we play back the tape, it's very clear that I said, I don't know what that really means because it's not clear. It could be a redundancy or it could be something that's, and then Mr. Oslick went up to the podium and said that there are many issues with 4A, and then the chair asked staff to clarify it, and the way staff clarified is that they defended 4A by saying that it is consistent or redundant with another section in the back. The city did not accept 4A or did not want 4A. It was clear to Dr. Press that the city accepted what was currently in the document, and that's how that went. With regards to the statement that you just made for our discussion, and if we go and play the tape, it's very clear that what I said and what the staff heard and what the staff agreed with is that we're talking about the development standards. And I indicated that if there's heartburn with the way this document is accepted in a couple years with the development of this technology, because it's in a state of flux, that we will revisit it in the permit, and at that time the development standards will need to be revised to meet the permit, and Matt Thompson agreed with that. That's what happened. It wasn't any assurance that we were incorporating hydro modification in this document. And I want to make that very clear, because that is the selective interpretation of what the tapes from the hearing actually stated.
Well, you made selections to make your point. I made some selections to make my point, and that you referred to the document now and the practice of hydro modification.
I'd be happy to play that tape.
I tell you what, we're not going to play the tape.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
Too much emphasis is being put on what happened at the prior hearing, and we're going to try to deal with that.
Right.
So let's
start from scratch,
Carl.
Okay.
Right now, I'm going to start running the clock,
okay.
And you guys go ahead and use the time any way you want to. Go ahead.
As written, item 4 is technically not feasible. It's written from afar. It's without input from the city staff or the community. For a small developer, it's cost prohibitive. The methodology and criteria is not well defined. It's impossible to implement. And items like requirements for 30-year local rainfall to be incorporated in models, well, we don't even know if 30-year rainfall records are available. So there is a lot of issues with how this is, again, being put into our standards and being required. Item 3 is also problematic. There's questions, again, on how we're going to implement this. Verbiage like seep away slowly is very subjective. And when we are in front of a developer or an engineer working for a developer, he's going to have a totally different interpretation of what seep away slowly means. One of the problems that, again, what happens when other people come in and try to put things in here, it is not consistent with the rest of the document. When we talk about volumetric elements, all of a sudden all the tables and stuff and how we oriented the document all do not work. This document was put together by a consultant for the water board, Kennedy Jinks. Kennedy Jinks followed the board staff's guidance and followed the permit. It was the opinion of Kennedy Jinks that hydro modification is not a requirement of the permit. It was the board's consultant that made that determination. So I want to I think that this adoption of this is going to create a hardship in the city of Salinas. The verbiage in here, though well-intended, we cannot promulgate this as a standard. Harvey, you have anything? Well, just you need to be brief.
Okay. We could propose, and we have prepared, an option to the previous, from the September version, that addresses, because what ended up getting missing from the document when those changes were made, inadvertently, I think, was that the requirements to limit volumetric controls, to provide a requirement for volumetric controls on 1 acre and larger, the stuff that was moved now from what had been proposed in 4 to 3, that requirement then went away. You know, we had some problems with some specific issues of how it was worded. That not unclear issue of the what does seep away mean? How exactly is the 0.6 would that be used when you're doing that? If you would like, I put it as a standalone slide, and we could show that one option.
I think that the staff has made it clear we're not going to negotiate on the fly. But the thought is, I think that if there's going to be any technical requirements promulgated on the city should have some input on what that is, because the technical problems with regards to what is being forced on us.
You have a minute and a half.
Well, as a personal statement, and thank you for
and
the
I
time.
I just want to make sure that you have ample time to cover anything that you feel is pressing on this.
Right.
Well, another specific issue with some of the language that is another issue that's with the language in the newly proposed November 14th 4B, where it talks about channel forming discharges, that there's some specific verbiage that when you look at river engineering type of stuff, that's what you use channel forming discharges is to evaluate constant discharges and determining what the stable river looks like with that constant discharge. it doesn't seem to fit. It's one of those things. It hasn't been vetted to see, you know, what's the right verbiage, what's the right methodology to meet a particular intent. One of the reasons it's not feasible is somebody looks at this and there aren't supporting instructions in the document for how to do it. If you look at the Santa Clara program or the Contra Costa program, they have some specific requirements, and then you look into the rest of their design standards, their stormwater quality measures, and it tells exactly how you go and meet them. They have specific programs available to meet those requirements, and it's missing it, and it makes it so that the adopting it the way they're proposing is just infeasible.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Matt, what about, and Jennifer, what about the last comment about that section in 4?
Well, we see that this is the first version of this document. I can't help but think of the Contra Costa guidebook, which was initially approved up there in 2003, and they're already on their fourth version. This is a complex area of science and policy that is ever evolving, and we believe that you need to start somewhere, try it out. If it doesn't work, fix it. And so we are open to, I'm happy to hear that they have some suggested improvements to the document. We would like to get the document in place. We would like them to start implementing it, get some real feedback on how it's working, and get their input and revise this thing in a year or two. I mean, this is going to have to be a living document. This is we got to start somewhere, and I think with the required revisions in option 3, we're very close.
Well, can this be adopted without the board's involvement? I mean, amended or revised?
Hold on, let me. Okay, if this says that within 1 year of permit adoption, the permittee shall submit a development standards plan, and then that'll be subject to 30 days notice, and the executive officer may approve it unless someone requests a hearing, and then in case it would come to a hearing. So we're now, you know, way past a year, but presumably if it's revised, then...
Well, I think what Matt's saying is if we adopt it today with changes in it, and he gets a year or two into this, and there's going to be more changes needed, more revisions needed, does that have to come back to the board?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you do that, then you have to have 30 days public comment, and then if someone requests a hearing, yes, you come back to the board. If no one,
I see.
No one.
So it could,
requests
but
hearing,
but doesn't have to.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, what would the board like to do? I think we have to kind of address the procedural thing of what we already have in front of us, which was a motion from the prior hearing.
Yeah, so if you do want to consider other than leaving it the way it is, you'll need to have a motion to rescind. And the staff has proposed to change reference numbers 2 and 3 before there was 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
So one possibility is a motion to rescind, assuming you want to make a change, is to rescind only reference numbers 2 and 3 from the previous hearing, and then move on. If you want to address any others, then you should have a motion to rescind whichever numbers you choose to rescind.
Mr. Hodgen, you were jumping right for the mic. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, Matt, if we approved your recommendation, the slide up there says pre-development, but you've already agreed that it will be pre-project.
Well, what I was pointing out is there seems to be an inconsistency there. If you insist on a minor change there, we would prefer to leave it as written after discussing it further with the group. There's very specific reasons why it's written as pre-development. We believe that if a project is more than 1 acre of impervious surface, if you don't require pre-development, matching pre-development, you essentially have no improvement.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify because we'd had that discussion. I want to make sure what it was you're proposing now.
Yeah, we're proposing as written originally.
Okay. Good. All right. Because it looked like we had made a change where we struck pre-development and reinserted pre-project. And you're saying we're now going back to the way it is written in the staff report.
That's correct.
Also, that's just the staff's recommendation.
That's staff's recommendation. Okay.
Also, just a reminder that when it says 1 acre or more of impervious surfaces, that doesn't mean that you're just talking, it's not a flat 1 acre disturbance area. It's actually of impervious surfaces. So you could have a 2 acre or even a 3 acre site. So it's a larger site because you're talking about the impervious areas,
right,
acreage on the site.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it seems to me what we should do to make this as clean as possible is to rescind the prior motion. And then we can not have to complicate things with whether we are reconsidering something at this point. We can kind of deal with that issue right now and focus on what we want to rescind. Mr. Hayashi?
Do you want a motion?
Yeah, if
I think that's where we need to go.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we rescind.
And I think there's some specific parts that Francis was going to tell us we're only rescinding. Is that right?
If you want to consider the staff's option 3,
yes,
then you would rescind only reference numbers 2 and 3 from the prior action.
Okay, well, the staff's option 3 speak to rescission of the prior motion?
Well, no, you would just make a motion. I move to rescind the board's motion from September 4th with respect to reference numbers 2 and 3 of resolution, of attachment to resolution R3-2008-0068.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Hayashi, you're adopting Francis's recitation of the motion that you want to move, that you want to make? Okay. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next step?
The next step would be if you want an
option
to
three.
New motion to take up whatever you want to take up, whether to do option 1, 2, or 3 that the staff proposed, however you want to do it, then you would have a...
Okay.
I think on this option 4, you know, we've been going back and forth about post-project, pre-project. It should be for the pre-project.
Okay.
On the redevelopment part of the deal. So if there was a 7-Eleven standing there and it ran off 200, the next project come in, it should take over from where that one left off.
So if I could try to clarify.
Yes.
You're okay with the pre-development for talking about new development, but it should be pre-project for redevelopment projects.
Yes.
I just want to clarify.
And
so it'd be two issues.
We need to discuss that because that could be a major change. It could conflict with what the board has already adopted, for example, for the city of Lompoc. And their requirement is, my understanding, is pre-development. And if we were to change that for Salinas, you're doing something that's more lenient for Salinas than it is for Lompoc.
Then we'll change it for Lompoc.
A phase 2 facility. But there's a reason that, my point is, there's a reason it's pre-development.
Maybe I could explain that. If you're ready, it helps if you consider in your mind a hypothetical, a parcel that has an existing 5,000 or 6,000, 10,000 square foot parking lot. If someone wants to come in and redevelop it and replace the 10,000 square feet of impervious area, the requirements would be triggered under these standards. So they would be required to evaluate the pre-project runoff condition, which would be identical to the post-project runoff condition, and therefore there would be no change and they would be required to do no mitigation. If they're held to a different baseline, which would be a pre-development hydrology, it introduces the option, or the opportunity, I should say, for redevelopment to actually result in improvements in watershed health. If you apply this requirement to redevelopment sites that are replacing 5,000 square feet or more of impervious area and ask them to compare it to pre-development condition, then they'll have to redesign that new 10,000 square feet of imperviousness in a way that is going to restore some of those functions or at least produce fewer of the impacts that were associated with that previous project. So it's meaningless to have a pre-project baseline. It is difficult for small sites to achieve that, and we can, you know, that's the crux, is that you place the 7-Eleven who's coming in to redevelop a Circle K under kind of a difficult position of having to suddenly match or meet some previous pre-development condition. But those are the engineering kinds of designs and solutions that are being worked out in certain places. So, but you can see how just making it to pre-project condition would obviate the need for any mitigation of flows.
Would there be no net improvement?
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
And the whole area is so constrained that, you know, we've got to pick up improvement everywhere we can. All the little bits and pieces collectively.
You won't get any redevelopment either.
Well,
Chairman Young, can I clarify something?
Yes.
There? The 5,000 square foot impervious surface trigger that he talked about triggers the need to comply with the stormwater development standards. This requirement for redevelopment to match pre-development runoff rates and durations is only for redevelopment projects that create or replace 1 acre of impervious surface. So that would only be the large redevelopment projects, not the many small redevelopment projects, which I think many are less than 1 acre of impervious surface.
Which, by the way, is a potential problem. That's the threshold. Nevertheless, that's the threshold we're proposing, but it is a potential problem because it's too high.
I think you've lost me. You're talking about an acre, and you were talking about 5,000 square feet.
It was my error to use the smaller square footage. I should have just started using acre and above examples. But the example, no matter what size you use, going with a pre-project baseline eliminates any potential gains in redevelopment.
So the threshold for applying this requirement is 1 acre.
Is 1 acre of impervious surface.
Yeah. Now, I have a question for you. How does that compare to other Phase 1 facilities? Are there other Phase 1 facilities that have a lower threshold?
Currently, as far as we know, there aren't. There are, maybe we could bring up the slide that shows the kind of the spectrum of hydromodification scenarios. This slide actually presents a couple of key pieces of information. One is, and we're right in the midst of it, we're talking about applicability criteria. Where's the laser there? So applicability criteria and thresholds, these would be triggers for development. So I mentioned a 5,000 square foot, and then there's the 1 acre of impervious surface, and then there's very low threshold, or very high thresholds, I should say, of 50 acres of disturbance before you even trigger some of these requirements. But if that's you know, on your y-axis, that represents a kind of weak to stringent approach to thresholds, and the bottom represents the actual numeric criteria you use and starts at a kind of a milder, lower threshold of requirements where you do some small storm event-based analysis and you meet some, you know, you make some percentage of the small storm volume retention, to a more advanced approach, which is actually to control flows, rates, peaks, and durations, I should say, of large storms or through a range of storms. And that's the kind of modeling that's more sophisticated and shouldn't be applied to small sites, but is in fact kind of the holy grail. We want to get to a point where we're achieving a mimicking of the hydrograph. So we go from a less stringent to more stringent, from less stringent and threshold to more stringent. So these bubbles kind of represents where the current state of California and one exception, the state of Washington, have gone with requirements. To take an example, the San Diego County permit has resulted in the county selecting a set of interim criteria in this year that only are triggered at a 50-acre disturbance threshold. But they're fairly rigorous in the terms of requiring continuous modeling and identifying the range of geomorphically significant flows to actually control. So they take a sophisticated approach, but they only apply it at a very high threshold. So the effectiveness of it is not that great. Up here, you take the state of Washington, who's actually continued with that level of numeric approach, but they've combined it with a much lower threshold of 10,000 square foot of imperviousness triggered. That puts them up here. This box up here is really where everyone kind of needs to be. It's that compromise, or it's not the compromise, but it's the combination of appropriate thresholds with appropriate numeric criteria. And currently in the state of California, the interim for San Diego is way down here, and they're going to be selecting criterion 09, which is very likely going to be putting them up here. State of Washington has both phase one and phase two since the year of 2007 already in this game. As you're somewhat familiar probably with the Ventura County permit, it's a draft permit, but again, it puts them up here. In Contra Costa County and Santa Clara Valley, and what we're proposing in our language for Salinas is really kind of in this area where the threshold is at 1 acre of impervious surface, and the approach to actual controls is approaching that range of geomorphically significant flows. I point out that in Region 3, we've actually proposed a set of, you know, alternative or what we call the default or the February 15th criteria. No one has adopted these. That's not been our requirement. But they have a year, the phase twos that are developing these standards, they have a year to come up with criteria that are going to probably place them in this range or over here. Because what we ask them to do is actually get started and get focused on sites down to that level. It's quite reasonable that a phase two will propose some alternative criteria that, you know, fits somewhere in here, and we find that acceptable. And when I look at what's been proposed so far, I can see that the lower threshold of 5,000 square feet of imperviousness is very rigorous for the interim standards, and we may be looking at closer to an acre for that approach. So that's kind of the range of examples in California right now.
Okay. Any other board thoughts, questions on this? It looks like we're looking at option 3. Okay. There's a comment to reinsert pre-project for pre-development to the way it was originally written in the staff report. That's right. Yeah, that's the way it's written.
1 acre
or more.
1 acre
or
more. Of impervious surfaces.
Right.
Yeah. On redevelopment.
And our point there is that the threshold is lenient.
Right.
It could be quite a bit more strict than that, but we've left it as is.
Okay. Well, we're ready for a motion then.
Well, if you're going to, if you...
Well, I think we want to adopt option three.
And so you would just then make a motion to adopt the staff recommendation, because you already rescinded what they did before.
Right.
Are we going to adopt it with adopt pre-development?
Option three, which speaks to, or the document supporting that, is attachment number seven in the staff report.
As modified.
As, yeah, I don't think it's modified any longer.
We demodified it.
We demodified it.
So is pre-project in or is pre-project out?
It's pre-development.
Pre-development.
Pre-project,
pre-project remains stricken.
Oh.
Remains as written, stricken.
I don't like that.
Is that what you said, John?
Yeah. No, I would rather see pre-project for redevelopment triggered at 1 acre.
Who's making the motion so we have something to speak to?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Dr. Hunter, do you want to make the motion and then we can see if we get a second, take a crack at it?
Okay. I move that we accept attachment 7 and as and with language as presented.
In the staff report?
In the staff report.
Which is staff's recommendation number 3.
Oh, yes, and option 3.
And option 3.
And we approve option 3.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second for that motion? I can't second anything. Or can I second?
No, you don't have to actually have a second on the vote either.
I would second it if we would go back to pre-project instead of pre-development in that statement.
Okay. And what about you, Mr. Jeffers? We have a motion.
I want John just to restate what his concern is.
I just think that in a redevelopment area that they should be entitled at a 1 acre trigger to go back to the to their pre-project.
Right. Well, this is a 1 acre.
If
it's
trigger.
Below 1 acre, they aren't tied to that.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that the 1 acre is a trigger.
Yeah, and that the staff option is the 1 acre is the trigger.
If you look at 4 in the attachment 7, it reads, in addition, for all new development and redevelopment projects, creating or replacing 1 acre or more of impervious surfaces. So it does only apply to projects above 1 acre.
All right. So if it's under an acre, it doesn't apply.
Okay.
And that was what I was saying earlier, is that in itself could be a problem, but we're not proposing to fix that today.
All right.
Well, a problem to water quality.
Yes.
You're saying staff is overlooking that.
It's lenient.
It's lenient.
As long as it gets what I'm thinking across.
So
I think John and I are...
The example of a 7-Eleven...
That's less than 1 acre.
It's less than 1 acre, so this would not apply.
Okay. Then I'll second it as written as...
Okay. We have a second. All right.
I'll go with that.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, the motion carries. Now, a question I have. Their permit is going to come back. I think we talked about this for review anyway. And this is one of these swamps that we want to see back in front of us with some periodicity.
The permit itself is...
The permit itself, and this is part of the permit now, correct?
Right, but the permit itself is coming back.
Correct,
right.
Yeah. And I would like to see how this is being implemented. I'd like to see what challenges have been, you know, presented to staff, how staff is resolving those, you know, whether we need to consider any modifications or changes to these standards, you know, see what kind of effort the city has made in terms of... you know, putting their best foot forward with implementation with this. So what would be an appropriate time frame?
But I think along with that, Mr. Chair, if the city runs into issues that are not possible for them to rectify,
right,
they should relate that to the staff so they can have the opportunity to look at that and have some other types of options. I think that's one of the concerns, and we want them to follow what we've passed, but yet we still want to have the flexibility that we can improve this document. And I think Matt brought this up. This is going to be a living document for us for a long time, and we have to be ready to accept if there's things that can't happen the way we think they should happen, then we should be able to change those type of things.
Right. Well, certainly any discharger, you know, has the right to ask the board to put something on the agenda.
I understand that.
And so, you know, if the city finds itself in that situation that they believe this is intractable for them, they can't deal with it, then they can always ask for that to happen. We can deal with that at that time. But we're going to be reviewing the permit anyway, and I guess we'll just wait for that to happen in its cycle.
Well, it's not that far off. So.
Yeah, and we'll just see where they're at that point. And maybe they're just scratching the surface, and there's not much to go over with the standard section, and we'll deal with other issues.
So. Chair Young, may I comment also? I just want to add in commenting on my vote today. I do believe there is flexibility and an opportunity for the city of Salinas to define for itself what MEP means. And what I'm hearing, what I heard today and what we've heard before, there's a real frustration between the general and the specific, and determining what those specific conditions and methods are going to be is something that you all have that opportunity to demonstrate now. So my vote today was an effort to get the program rolling and allow you now to roll up your sleeves and let us know where you're going to need to make changes. But also consider that you need to make some effort to meet MEP in some fashion. And that's the program that we have to implement. And being a phase one program, you've had a lot of time to be involved with this process. And so I'm hoping that you're very close to understanding what MEP means. So I have been listening to the issues that you've raised. I do understand that there are some very strong feelings or views on the way in which hydro modification can be applied, given the soils and geomorphology of Salinas broadly. But I do think it's going to be case by case and very specific. And as Mr. Jeffries pointed out, there are differences throughout the Salinas Valley, and I think we're going to see those differences. And I generally agree with everything that he said, and want to encourage you to look for the flexibility and look to meet your needs in the best way that you can. We are interested in the challenges, the costs, the concerns that are coming from the development community. I don't want you to have the impression that I'm not interested in those issues, because I am. I'm very interested in better understanding and getting to a document that's going to be effective. So that's a comment.
Okay. Mr. Hayashi.
You know, and you also have another chance to comment, too, is that if you don't think that you're getting the attention that you need, you can address it directly to the chairman and the board, regarding any problem with the permit.
You mean by sending a letter?
A letter.
Yeah.
Addressing it to you, to the chairman and the board, and then we would see it sooner, if that would make you feel any more comfortable. You probably won't need to, but
John, that's my comment to any discharger, that if they feel aggrieved by anything going on, that I'm always going to listen to whatever the position is and the argument and the concern.
Yeah,
because then we'll decide what to do.
Exactly.
So.
Because we are not inaccessible.
Don't look at us with such blank, drawn faces, you guys. We want you to really try your best to engage in this program and this process. You may have to start thinking a little differently
how you're going to address it. And it's not impossible to do. It's just challenging. And maybe some of you have been doing something for 30 years one way or two ways, and you're going to have to start reinventing approaches. So good luck, and we look forward to reviewing your progress. All right, thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next agenda item. And Mr. Jeffries is going to leave.
I'm going to leave, and again, I like to...
You enjoyed every minute of it.
I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to everyone.
Okay, you too, Russ.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Mr. Briggs, I believe we're going to move on to agenda item 26, if I'm not mistaken.
We're actually going to take item 26 and 27 together. They're the same
okay.
applicant.
Okay.
And Jason.
Chair Young, can we have a three-minute break?
Okay. Mr. Briggs, Dr. Hunter had a suggestion that she discussed with me that I think, you know, is a good idea, and that is, if you could include in your EO's report on an ongoing basis anything that pops up with the Salinas swamp in terms of interaction with stakeholders, the city itself, you know, any issues that arise that staff is grappling with.
Sure.
Any good news, any bad news? Just so we get kind of an ongoing sense for how things are proceeding. That would be helpful.
All right.
Okay. All right. Agenda item